Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Let's go. You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Applebee's is a top five restaurant in the world.
I agree.
Thank you. Applebee's is a top five restaurant in the country.
French fries?
Wow.
Hamburgers?
Mozzarella sticks?
Oh, there you go.
Fruit pub pretzels with beer cheese dip?
Beer?
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, a Wednesday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Josh Briscoe Beards. We head up until 2 o'clock. We've got you for the next 4 hours. We got some Chiefs on the docket. We got some Royals on the docket. Some college football mixed in as well with the coaches' poll released a couple of days ago. We have yet to get around to that. We may get that today. Could end up on the cutting room floor. We'll find out. I mean, we only have 4 hours to talk. How are we supposed to fit in all of the things that we want to talk about, while also the randomness and rabbit holes that we go down from time to time on different nonsensical topics? So that's what's coming your way over the next 4 hours. Other than that, we'll find out together. We're all taking this ride together, all flying blind together for the next 4 hours. We know this. Coming up an hour from now, we will talk with Jeff Montgomery, Bally Sports TV, Royals Hall of Famer, Royals Insider for 810, presented by SandlotGoods.com. We will hang out with Monty, get his thoughts on the young Royals, the boys, the kids, the youth, the utes that are out there for the Royals, and also Brady Singer on the mound as well. We'll see what Monty has taken away and gleaned and seen from this young group of guys, the feeling of like you can see the glimpses of the next run, what could be the next run, next era of Royals baseball. So we'll talk with Monty about that and what has gotten into Brady Singer since he was called back up in 15 starts. We look at what Brady Singer has done, and since July, looking at what he has done compared to the rest of baseball and all starters. I want to get into that as well, because the question now starts to become, as he goes out and is more and more consistent each outing, and even when he has a rough outing, like you could say his previous one against the White Sox, you know, back-to-back starts against the White Sox, not this one, but a week ago today, so that would have been August 3rd, that he gave up the 4 runs in the 6 innings. Even that one, with only 3 strikeouts and 1 walk, when he didn't have his best stuff, and he labored through a year ago, certainly a couple of years ago, but he was a guy that it was the, you know, he's such a bulldog and he's so intense.
He'll fight the rain.
But he's also really immature. And he also melts down. And I think that start against the White Sox a week ago today would have been a meltdown game for him. It would not have been, how did he get through 6 innings, only giving up 4 earned runs? It would have been, he gave up 6 runs in 3 innings. And it, boy, if you could just take away that third. You know, he gave up 5 runs in the 3rd, but, you know, so good other than that, man. Just the stuff, the movement, you can see it, but he just can't get out of those 1 innings. Like, we saw it often. It was like, you know, he 4 innings and 5 earned runs, but he gave up 4 of those in the 2nd. If he just finds a way to get out of it. And he did that against the White Sox. He labored, he battled, and he didn't have his best stuff like he did against the Yankees when everything was, you know, moving all over the place and dancing. That wasn't the case, but he found a way to go 6 innings, 4 earned runs. I thought that was real growth. And you throw in the two starts before that when he had the 22 strikeouts and three walks. Now you throw in a six strikeout game, no walks, and seven and a third. And you've got Brady Singer, who is, to me, putting himself in the conversation, at least the discussion of where can he fit? If this is a team and a group of players or a core, the Yankees, the core four, the core group of players that we're seeing, the young guys and maybe even Brady Singer, where does he fit in that? Is he a true number three? Is he like a legit number two? Or does he actually have the stuff and the makeup and that bulldog mentality to go out and be maybe not Max Scherzer or, you know, Jacob DeGrom, you know, a high-end ace, but a second-tier ace in Major League Baseball? Could he be that? Some of the things I want to talk to Monty about coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, because it's been a lot of fun. I know we're having some fun watching the young players, watching the young hitters, but I look forward to the Brady Singer starts. It has evolved from the beginning of the season looking forward to the Zach Greinke starts.
Yes.
To now it's Singer's on the mound, I'm watching the game.
He became appointment viewing, yes, but not in a horror movie type of way, which is what it sort of felt like for a little bit, right? Like, I remember talking to Leske a bunch last season, even the year before.
You're so close to him, you're just on a last-name basis with him?
Leske's basically like, he's like Preki, you know? He's Pele. I don't know. He gets one name. He's Ichiro.
He's Brittany.
I could have come up with a pop culture or a baseball
Serena,
one.
Serena, he's Tiger. Yeah,
exactly.
It's LeBron.
He's David. His first name is David. I don't call him David.
David.
But I remember talking to him last season in particular, and whatever our schedule ended up being was just that he would come on the day after a Singer start. Just kind of just worked out that way by accident four or five times in a row, it felt like. And every time it was like, so Leske, do you want to say it, or should I say it, or how do we want to do this? Or the point where at the end of the season, we're like, hey, I don't mean to constantly bleep on, yeah, Brady Singer. It's just gone that way. Well, now, again, he becomes appointment viewing, where you're talking about him as a bottom half ace, or if the guy we've seen over the last month and change is your number two in a rotation, you have a legitimate pitching rotation,
yeah,
of guys who other teams have to plan around and be afraid of. And even to the point, going back to the last White Sox start, he was affected by the rain there. At one point, it was like,
right,
so what are we going to see from Singer? Like, what's... He got hit plenty. It was a messy start, but he kept them in it. Like you, mm-hmm, like you said, there was never that, oh man, just that one inning. If he could have just pulled it all together then. Ultimately, even giving up all those hits, giving up, what, three of those runs on one three-run homer, I think, in that start, he still stayed composed.
Yeah.
And yesterday, he was making some of those White Sox look lost, look foolish. He was in control of those battles, and that is, mm-hmm, growth, real growth from Brady Singer.
The movement was so good that every once in a while it got the ump.
Yeah. That's a very kind way of saying
that. That was a strike, right? Wow, it moved so fast. I mean, and then you had some White Sox players that were like getting out of the way, and then it was an obvious strike, and then they're complaining to the umpire like, whoa, that was, yeah, right over the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, it moved about, yeah, 7 inches, but, you know, it was right over the heart is what happened there. And even, like, if we go back to the Giants start, that was July 13th, when he went five innings, mm-hmm, against the Giants, and he gave up two earned runs.
Yep.
But he had five strikeouts and five walks. And that was when he walked to, like, four guys in a row and just completely lost it. Couldn't get the strike zone, couldn't figure anything out, and he gave up two runs in that inning. And he still went another four, so four other innings without giving up a run in that game. That's a game where he just doesn't make it out of that. I mean, he's toast. He doesn't get it together. He just never finds it, and then he's done. And instead, in that game, he walks five, he finds it, and then he's able to go five innings because of an elevated pitch count in that one inning. He's able to go five innings and give up only two earned runs, keep his team in the game. We've seen those, and we've seen the seventh pitcher in the history of baseball to go into Yankee Stadium and throw at least seven innings, giving up no earned runs with at least 10 strikeouts. The seventh pitcher ever. Now, he's only one of the other six that did not get a win,
yeah,
in those games, but that is not his fault. That's part of it. So we've seen him fight through. We've seen him battle. We've seen him go out there and be untouchable. And that, to me, is where you start to get excited. You start to see what
people were talking about in his last year with Florida of, is this the number one pick in the draft, Brady Singer? And then, well, why did he slip all the way to the Royals? And then what the Royals saw in him and why the Royals kept throwing him out there every 5 days that, you know, he's going to figure it out. He needs time, going to figure it out. And, yeah, there was a lot of frustration. We talked about it. And it was, I mean, people felt like I was shaming on, you know, Brady Singer all of last year because it was the change-up watch.
Yeah.
That we had every single start.
Hey, and you know what? That did matter.
It turns
that
out.
That did matter. I can't remember where this honestly might have been something that Monty mentioned last week or a couple weeks ago. But like even, and this actually could have been a broadcast, I don't know. I'm stealing it from somebody. But just the thought of maybe there could be a changeup out of his hand multiplies your possible outcomes as a hitter exponentially. Like that is, and look, I don't want to be super prisoner of the moment and say, okay, well, he had what, three incredible starts and one that he battled through in these last four, right? I don't want to just cut it off there or just arbitrarily cut it off at July. Well, then you go back and then you get that start where he, even in a loss where he gave up four earned at the end of June against the A's. Well, he got into the ninth inning there.
Yeah.
You go all the way back to when he came back from Omaha. And you've really got one turd of a start. It was the game against the Astros. He got through five innings, three home runs, seven earned. You have one disaster. That was his fourth start back after three really solid ones. And every moment since then, there's either been sparks of dominance or persistent dominance or at least something you can hang your hat on. And that is just such a world away from where he's been at this point the last couple of years.
And the game against the A's where he pitched into the ninth inning and gave up five runs, I remember talking about that the day after that, you know, that should have been two earned runs. And I don't remember the details of it, but we discussed it and we're like, well, this happened and that happened. I mean, you're talking about two earned runs in the game is what he actually gave up, and he might have had a complete game if it would have been just the two earned runs. Instead, because I think he left a guy on, right? When he was pulled, there were a couple of guys on that ended up coming around and scoring. So it was an inherited runner or two that ended up scoring. But regardless, the details escape me. But I wrote it down here in my notes of each Brady Singer start.
I trust you.
That, yeah, thank you.
I'm looking at the pitch log. I'm not even going to try to explain.
Thank you. But I noted it should have been two earned runs. I can go back to that format and see of the show and see exactly what it was. But I don't have time.
We're doing a show here.
That's right. Take my word for it. Just trust me, okay? I'm a trustworthy person.
I trust you, Jason.
Thank you very much. But he's, I mean, you talk about the changeup, and the thought of it, I think, is a really interesting one. Now, the White Sox are a right-handed heavy lineup, so how often is he going to throw a changeup against right-handers as opposed to he used that a lot against lefties? So maybe just the thought of that being there or how good his stuff is right now. Because against the Rays, he threw 11 changeups, and he had 12 strikeouts and two walks against the Rays. That was four starts ago. In the last three starts, he has thrown a total of 11 changeups. He threw 11 that game. He's thrown 11 since then. And he's got 19 strikeouts and two walks. So while, yes, the changeup has helped, it clearly isn't just that he's throwing a changeup. I think it's probably a combination of confidence, combination of trust in the changeup, combination of he's willing to throw it, now he knows he has three pitches, and throw in the fact that the hitters know that he can throw a changeup from time to time, that it's not just going to be sinker slider, even though that's predominantly what you're going to see, but you do have to be aware of it. But I think the confidence and the stuff is the most important part.
Yes.
We had some fun with Brady Singer last year when he was asked about the changeup, and he was like, yeah, if my first two pitches aren't working, what's the point? And then we compared that to Daniel Lynch, who was talking about the different pitches he has. And he was saying, well, yeah, if I got two pitches that aren't working, you know, I can go to my third pitch or my fourth pitch. And it was like, hey, Brady, are you listening? Brady, he's talking to you. But I do believe this is what Brady Singer is talking about, that when his sinker slider is working like it is right now, when he's got the confidence and the touch and the feel and the movement, then, yeah, the thought of having a changeup certainly helps. But he's not actually having to throw it to make the sinker slider more effective because they seem to be effective on their own in what he's doing out there on the mound. And I think pace of play for Singer, too. He gets the ball. He gets right back up there. Like yesterday, Eloy Jimenez, I mean, the pitch clock's going to be bad for him. With Singer, I don't know what he does every single at bat. But I know against Singer, in between pitches, he would step out and just pause. Because Singer's on the mound just waiting. right? I mean, he wants to get, we talked about the three pitches to Benintendi. 33 seconds to strike out Benintendi to start that Yankees game off. First pitch to the third pitch with a foul ball in between, it was 33 seconds. That's how Singer wants to throw. The pitch clock next year will not affect Brady Singer. In fact, I believe it'll help Brady Singer because Jimenez cannot do that. He can't step out and throw Brady Singer off his tempo. You got to get back in the box and get ready to go. And a guy like Brady Singer is going to get it back there on the mound and want to throw the pitch. A guy like Chris Archer, who wants to just take his time, walk around the mound in between pitches, he's a human rain delay. And Doug Davis was the worst back in the day. Like Doug Davis versus Mark Burley was the just the exact opposite of each other back in the day. Pitchers will have to adjust. I think it benefits Brady Singer because that's how he pitches anyway, and it eliminates a hitter going, I'm going to play some mind games, and I'm going to step out, and I'm going to slow you down and take you out of your rhythm.
One other thing here on the changeup that I just pulled up on Baseball Savant. I don't know what – I don't want to make you play the guessing game. Beards, if you want to throw
in
a number,
playing
you
the
can.
Guessing
you want to play the guessing
game?
Yes,
I make you guys play the guessing game all the time.
This one, I just feel like this one is very – the margins here are minor. I'm going to tell you that last year, Brady Singer threw the changeup 3.8% of the time per Baseball Savant. What do you think he has thrown this year? Again, in percentage of the time that it's been a changeup, it's all, you know, sinker, slider, and then a couple four-seam fastballs that are probably just maybe a little mischart because he's just working with the sinker slider. But what percentage of the time is Brady Singer throwing a changeup this year?
Is Beard's going to go first?
Beards,
or
I feel like you should go first here.
So it was 3.8 last year.
Yeah.
So excited.
He's improved this year.
So excited for
sure.
This number.
Sure. Will it have been because of the changeup? Maybe he's not throwing the changeup completely. Who's to say?
4.20.
I'm going to say 9.7.
It is 8.2.
Damn it,
so you are right there around. Beards, you're so dumb, man. You got to learn how to count. It's really embarrassing. I can't believe you haven't gotten better at this.
The worst.
But he has thrown it twice as frequently. Mm-hmm. A little more than twice as much. Now, to your point here, they've got him with 9 total changeups to righties and 115 to the lefties, which does you can't give him credit against right-handed batters on the back of the changeup, to be fair. That is his first two pitches working, him having that command and it looking nasty.
Yeah.
But having that in the arsenal, particularly against lefties, and he can throw it against a righty every once in a while if he has a reason to go to it. Not only is that good now, I expect that to keep getting better. If next year Brady Singer goes back to throwing the changeup 4% of the time and he still is good at baseball, I would be shocked. Because I think that's something that you want to see grow.
Yeah.
But eventually, pitchers add pitches later in their careers. Like, is that something on the table for Singer after he is fully confident in the 1-2 and then now 3?
I'm glad you brought that up in the difference between the righties and the lefties. I hadn't looked up the splits in the changeups there. But it makes sense when you've got the White Sox, who are a right-handed heavy lineup. And in the last two starts have been against the White Sox. He's thrown almost 200 pitches, and he's got 5 total changeups that he's thrown. So, I mean, and he threw 17 against the Twins. You know, he threw 11 against the Rays that have, you know, lefties. And he's thrown 5 total in almost 200 pitches the last two starts against the White Sox. He's also had 9 strikeouts and 1 walk in those 13 innings. So while not throwing because the stuff works against righties, you need that third pitch to get lefties out, or at least have the thought of the, you know, getting the lefties out. Does it say how many changeups he threw total last year? So in 2021?
I'll come back to that in just a second, but real quick, 15%, 14.9 changeups to lefties this year, by the way. That is up from 6.5 last year and 7.7 the year before. So not only is he throwing it twice as much in general, he's throwing it more than twice as much to lefties. What was the specific, what did you want me to...
What was the changeup last year?
Total last year?
2021 against lefties and righties.
88 total changeups last year. He's already at 124 this year. 84 to lefties, 4 to righties. So a pretty similar ratio, but keeping consistent in the jumps there on the left-handed side as well.
So looking up real quick, and then we'll take a break and some other things to get into. The Chiefs have signed another defensive lineman, difference maker. Another defensive lineman.
Well, you got Jason, you're selling this all wrong.
Sorry.
The Chiefs just signed a former first-round pick.
That's a good point.
Defensive lineman.
Right.
I'm not even going to say his name until after the break, because who could have... Is it Ndamukong Suh?
It could be
Ndamukong Suh!
Right. It could be... Is it Aaron Donald?
I you know, I'm not going to say that it's not. So far, I have not ruled him out.
You can't, because we haven't said who it is yet. So Brady Singer, since July 1st, so it's 7 starts. Get ready to take a shot, everybody. Small sample size.
I have a coffee sip.
He ranks 9th in strikeouts in Major League Baseball since July in the last 7 starts. And by the way, the leader in strikeouts has 8 starts in Gerrit Cole. Here are the 8 names in front of Brady Singer.
For strikeouts this year. Since July.
Since July. See if there's a number of guys that sound familiar when you say Brady Singer, how good can he be? Gerrit Cole, Max Scherzer, Spencer Strider, Blake Snell, Yu Darvish, Corbin Burns, Shohei Ohtani, Carlos Rodon, Brady Singer.
I've heard of a significant percentage of those guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of them there, it seems.
I wish I was on the same list as Shohei Ohtani in anything. Literally anything. One more time on that list.
That is Gerrit Cole, Max Scherzer, Spencer Strider, Blake Snell, Yu Darvish, Corbin Burns, Shohei Ohtani, Carlos Rodon, Brady Singer.
Good company.
Not bad to be in. Now, that is since July. That is 7 starts, small sample size, yada, yada, yada. He's also 20th in baseball in ERA over that time with a 2.45 ERA in 7 starts. 2.45 ERA. By the way, the man going today in Chris Bubich. I mentioned Brady Singer, 2.45. He's 20th. Since July, Chris Bubich is 31st in all of baseball with ERA. Starters. Starters in baseball with a 3.24 in his last 7 starts. I mean, I hope, and this is where the optimism and the excitement comes in, I hope the worm is turning for these guys, that it is about experience. You can't speed up the maturation process for guys at the big league level, no matter what their age, even if they went to college or not, that it does take some time. It takes innings in the big leagues, and maybe that's what's going on with Chris Bubich, what's going on with Brady Singer. Last 2 starts for Daniel Lynch, what's he got? You know, 11 strikeouts, no walks for Daniel Lynch since coming back. Those are certainly good. But you got a couple of guys over 7-8 starts in baseball of every other starter in baseball that are ranked in the top 30, essentially, top 31 of ERA of every starter out there. Not too bad. Now, Bubich isn't going to register there with the strikeouts because that's not what he does. But Brady Singer is that guy. And that's where, you know, talking to Monty at 11 o'clock, looking forward to hearing what he has to say, because what can Brady Singer, can he be in the mix with those names we just said? Like, is that where he could be in a year or two? In 2024, are we talking about Brady Singer? Not just a 7-game start, but over the course of, you know, April through August, and we're sitting here discussing the Royals, you know, a game up or a game out of the division. And thank God Brady Singer's on the mound tonight, because, you know, he's taken his 2.1 ERA and 4th in Major League Baseball in strikeouts. And, you know, you feel pretty good about him. And, you know, Prado's on this stretch where he's OPSing at 1.2 over the last month or so.
I like this fan fiction you're writing. This is better than the actual baseball so far.
Let's write some fan fiction next. Brady Singer, Chris Bubich, certainly some optimism and some excitement about moving forward. Both those guys since being called back up. Is that something they have in common? Since being called back up? I don't know. Something I'll also talk to Monty about coming up at 11 o'clock. Mick Schaefer at 1 o'clock. More Zone rolling along. Let's get into some Chiefs as well. Roger Goodell goes on record for the first time weighing in on why the NFL appeal or why the NFL appealed the decision and what he thinks they have going in their favor. Pro Football Network has a report out there of what they expect the punishment to be raised to, what they expect that to happen. We'll get into that as well. More Zone right after this. It's a Wednesday edition at Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
913-912-4810. Not going to read that text because you're a jerk.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I know I did since July with Brady Singer, but then I went back and looked since he was called back up. So that's 15 starts for him since he was called back up. So then I went back and looked at that date for Brady Singer over that time. He's 16th in strikeouts since being called back up. He's 15th in strikeout-to-walk ratio. 26th in ERA with a 3.31, but he continues to improve. Obviously, he's progressing in the right direction. And the 15 names in front of him in total strikeouts going back to May 17th when he came up and pitched that doubleheader, then sent back down, then called up for good. Garrett Cole, Corbin Burns, Shohei Ohtani, Charlie Morton, Dylan Cease, Zach Wheeler, Carlos Rodon, Shane McClanahan, Aaron Nola, Christian Javier, Yu Darvish, Sandy Alcantara, Robbie Ray, Luis Castillo, Shane Bieber, Brady Singer. So there you go. That's the
still
group.
Pretty good company.
That's the company he's in since he was called back up for good. Well, called back up to pitch the doubleheader on May 17th, and then the next time in the rotation called back up and good to go. But he was sent back down in between those things. So 913-912-4810 is the text line to be a part of the show. Something else to get excited about, and you know, we like small sample sizes, or at least we like saying small sample sizes around here. And that is the small sample size of the Royals' main sort of bigger rookie names since the trade deadline. Bobby Witt all season, MJ Melendez most of the year, Vinny Pasquantino called up before, and then Prado called up before the trade deadline, but ultimately when it became sort of the young Royals since the trade deadline, it's been seven games that they have played since then. They're 4-3 since August 2nd in the trade deadline. If you want to throw in that night, you can, of it being, you know, 4-4 because they ended up losing that game. But since trade deadline passed and it was, okay, here's the team moving forward. This is now going to be this Royals club. We know Whit Merrifield, Andrew Benintendi, Carlos Santana, things like that, other guys being called up. So Whit, MJ, Pasquantino, and Prado in those games. Small sample size, mind you. Six or seven games.
Such a small sample size.
Right.
Just an hors d'oeuvre.
103 plate appearances combined. 91 at-bats combined. But they are OPSing at .871. They've got 8 home runs in the 7 games. 23 RBIs in the 7 games. 3 doubles. 14 runs scored. 8 walks. 21 strikeouts in the 7 games. Those 4 guys are averaging 1 walk and 3 Ks per game of the 4. It's kind of really Vinny Pasquantino in the walk and kind of Bobby Witt in the strikeouts. Witt's had his struggles. Bobby Witt has. He's gone hot and cold and things like that. He's been the one that has struggled the most of the four guys, you know, since the trade deadline. He's OPSing at .655. Prado's OPSing at .904. Melendez at .940. And Pasquantino, .996 OPSing. So Witt is bringing that number down to .871. And that's the guy you're really not worried about? But we're also talking about 6/7 games that they have played since then. But that youth movement, a couple of Brady Singer starts, Chris Bubich with you know, what would be his second start in that time, a 4-3 run. Massey is, you know, OPSing at .728, you know, getting on base at .357. You know, certainly you'll take that, getting hits multiple, you know, games, getting on base multiple times, playing good defense. That's the excitement around that, not even counting in Michael Massey. He could be good, right? He could be an everyday, really good player. But if we're talking about the four guys people were discussing coming into this year before spring training, Bobby Witt, MJ Melendez, Nick Prado, Vinny Pasquantino, those four guys. They're up, they're playing every day, and that's what they've been doing since it's, we've turned the page. It's now not necessarily your team, but it's kind of your team.
It's also, I just think, such an interesting and this is a little bit egotistical, but maybe an important time for good analysis around this version of the team. And I'm saying important on a sliding scale, right? Like, uh-huh. You know, we still know where we're at in the sports side of the world. But,
sports.
But like, in sports terms, it is important to figure out what success is ahead of time here, because we all rightfully... do not mishear me. We rightfully were all banging on the door of, give us the young guys. What are we waiting for? I don't need to watch all these guys over and over again that we've seen in years past. Carlos Santana does not do any good on this team right now. He could do more good for some other team, and this team would do better with the roster spot.
Like, that's right.
We were banging on the door on that, and we were all right to be doing it. The Royals probably should have been on a more expeditious path, a little quicker, on the entire youth movement. But now that we are here, I think it is very important to say, hey, Bobby Witt is actually the one bringing the numbers down here. And that's okay for this time being. I think it's important to say, hey, we're talking about a small sample size, but that can still be informative. Because what we're looking for, more than anything else, the rest of this season, and largely, I'm willing to write this up for next season as well. We don't even know exactly who the manager and the president of baseball ops and everything will be. There could be changes
there. No, we don't.
Even next year, if it's the same group, a different group, whatever, it is going to be about growth and progress and that continuing to move forward. Now, that can't be every single day. Not every single day is going to be a win by one more run than the day before, although it would be pretty cool if it was. But what's ultimately going to be at stake is, do you see, on the whole of the season, is there progress from the guys mm-hmm. who really matter? And that can be ebbs and flows for Bobby Witt. It can be Brady Singer showing absolute gas for the last month. We got to find the right things to focus on, though, and I hope that never ends with people overreacting to a week of Bobby Witt or a bad day at the plate from Vinny Pasquantino.
Well, and also, you know, it's the same like view around this team and what the future is going to be. Like, Bobby Witt is supposed to be and hopefully is going to be a cornerstone of this franchise, and talked about it for a while that. Tired of Mondesi playing short. I wanted them to move him to center field. And I know people, you know, immediately took that as, well, if he's going to get hurt at shortstop, why wouldn't he get hurt at center field? No. He's going to get hurt wherever he plays. I'd rather have to replace a center fielder than have to worry about my shortstop and Witt playing third and then short and Nicky Lopez moving over there. Put Bobby at short, call it a day. And they've done that since Mondesi went down. But lately, Matheny has been switching him from short to third since they traded Rivera. And in the last six games, he's played three at shortstop and three at third base. Bobby Witt, your shortstop moving forward. So put him there, call it a day. And our same guy that has, you know, been defending Brittany for so long that we heard, you know, earlier this year, during a little after spring training when the season started, when Witt was over at third base and Mondesi was at short, and it was like, man, you drafted him as a shortstop. He's going to be a guy. Quit relying and thinking you're going to rely on Adalberto Mondesi. Put Bobby Witt there at shortstop. Call it a day. Leave him alone.
You're lucky he even performed for you. Leave Bobby alone. Please.
Dramatic.
You sound different here, Jason.
Leave Bobby alone.
It's not me. It's him.
Please.
Sounds very similar.
Leave Bobby Witt alone right now.
I just know how you get,
I mean,
emotional.
Anyone who has a problem with him, you deal with me.
See? Just leave it. He is a huge Bobby Witt fan and wants him just to play short and call it a day. Leave him alone.
I admire the passion is so. I mean, look, to care that deeply
it's
about the
me.
Position that Bobby Witt Jr. plays is.
I don't know the guy's name that loved up Brittany, but he's now a big Bobby Witt fan as well. So
I honestly am happy
passion.
To have him. Happy to have
same
him.
Same passion for. That was to you, Mike Matheny. That was to you. Leave him alone. Put him at short. Call it a day.
I think moving him back and forth like one day or the other is a little bit odd. Whenever I saw him starting at shortstop in game two yesterday, I really had to pause for a second and make sure I hadn't misread something. Because that feels mean. That feels like you're trying to bait him into an error. And then he had a nice defensive play at short.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, he can also do this. I don't even know if I have a strong opinion about where he should be. But I don't think the answer should be, doubleheader, game one, third base, second game, shortstop. Good luck. Hey, you know what? Tomorrow, you're playing second. What? Why? Are you sure?
Because here's the question I would have. Who's the shortstop of the future? Because it's not Mondesi, and I will throw up in my mouth if Mondesi's the answer. But here's the thing. In the offseason going into spring training next year, you know that's what they're going to say. Mondesi's going to be a part of this group. Well, you know, you got Mondesi, one of the most talented, just unlucky when it comes to injuries, but just talent on talent. You can't teach that. He's got every tool in the toolbox, man. He's got a tool belt. He's toolish.
I'm going to say something that might fracture this show irreparably.
You love Mondesi and you wish he would play every day, and you don't like Bobby Witt, nor do you like Prado or Pasquantino, and you wish the Royals would just simply play Carlos Santana and Adalberto Mondesi. Is that what you were going to say?
The first half of it was pretty close. I do, look, hey, you said I wish Adelbert Tomasi would play every day. I do. I definitely do. I wish he physically could.
I'd love to see him get a chance to right. play every day.
Right.
I think he's talented. I just think he shows the talent when nobody's watching.
The irreparable thing is that I wouldn't even be mad if the Royals had a role for him next year in mind, but you know you can't rely on it. You can't. Not at short. Not as an everyday player. You can't. I feel like I was gonna be the last holdout this offseason. Say, hey, right here. Let it. You put Bobby at third. Try Mondesi at short. And if if it comes together this year, oh man, the future's gonna look so bright. And then we got through like 2 weeks of baseball. I was like, never mind. All right, you know, hey. What else were they supposed to do? It only cost Bobby Witt a few games at shortstop, and apparently that wasn't a concern anyway, because now Nicky Lopez is the shortstop of the future. I don't know. It's very strange. I think that there could be. We talked about this on Monday when you were out with Craig Brown.
I was out with Craig.
You and Craig Brown were out, and we were talking about you guys. But Craig like was given some oxygen to, hey, you could put him at third. His bat would still be valuable there, and he's had some issues at short. But why right now? Like, let him play short the rest. I don't care. He could boot every ground ball for the rest of the year, and he would still be the best shortstop on the team, you know, for total positional value. You like Nicky Lopez at second. That's a good.
Massey at second.
Good point.
They've played Nicky Lopez at third when they had Rivera. Now they don't have Rivera, and it's like, well, Nicky Lopez can't play third now.
There are ways you could solve that I don't think. The guy who I would like to have be cemented in a spot is the guy that you hope is going to play that spot for a decade.
That's
Bobby Witt.
They're looking for a third baseman, and so Nicky Lopez playing third, obviously he is not a third baseman with the bat. That much we know. I'm talking about if Massey's my second baseman moving forward, I want him at second base. If Bobby Witt's my shortstop, which he should be, I want him at short. And wherever MJ Melendez is going to end up playing, let's get him there and watch, you know, what he can do and improve, because he clearly has a long way to go. Left field, the corner outfield is not easy. Unless you've done it a lot at the major league level, it is not major league baseball outfielders make it look a whole lot easier than it actually is for guys that typically play in the dirt or are wearing the tools of ignorance. And then you just move into the outfield and it's a completely different vantage point. So if he's going to play right field, then put him in right field. Prado at first or left field, whatever. I'd rather just leave him at first. I know the whole DH thing, you know, when Salvi's got the second day, DH, okay, then maybe Vinny Pasquantino takes, you know, a day off. Or that's when you have Prado in left and you've got Pasquantino at first base. Those things get it understandable totally. But if you're looking for a third baseman moving forward and you trade for CJ Alexander, you draft Caden Hayward from Arkansas in the second round, you're trying to find these guys that are there. I don't think the answer is, well, you know, Mondesi can play short and then we'd have a third baseman with Bobby Witt. Yeah, Mondesi will play short for 60 games. But then when Witt moves to shortstop, you're still looking for a third baseman. Unless you're just simply saying Nicky Lopez on the team is going to be the shortstop when Adalberto Mondesi gets injured. So Nicky Lopez will be a utility guy that can play a lot of different positions and give guys days off. And he can come in and he can handle the bat a little bit, steal a base, defensive replacement, things like that. And when Mondesi gets hurt, he can play short and you leave Bobby Witt alone over at third, and that's where he's at. I just think he's way too athletic and fast and rangy to then put at third.
At least right now.
Well, yeah.
Just at least right
now.
To
punt right now. If they're not willing to punt on MJ Melendez at catcher, you know, if he's still going to be behind the... Now, they're carrying three catchers, so it kind of seems like that's the route they're going. So, you know, when... Melendez is playing outfield and Salvi's not in the game. You're like, they're kind of acknowledging what the future may be. Mm. Okay, well then, you know, see what you're going to have with him and make that decision as to what it's going to be in the future. But Prado at first, Vinny DHing, Massey at second, Witt at shortstop, and then, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't need to see Dozier in the lineup. Like, when I'm behind on the game and I'm fast-forwarding, I'll fast forward right through Dozier's at bats.
You fast forward Michael to the Dozier at bats, and then if he ends up on base, maybe you go back out. You're like, oh, okay, what? Well, how did he get there? But you don't. Yeah, well, you wouldn't have hit rewind a lot yesterday.
No, I watched the rookies, and then it's like, oh, Dozier, fast forward, cool, play. Oh, Michael A. Taylor, fast forward. All right, play. That's how I catch up. Is I can get those at bats, foul balls in between innings, mound visits, pitching changes. Dozier and Taylor's at bats. Those are the ones that I really catch up on. We'll take a timeout. We'll wrap up this hour. Jeff Montgomery coming up at 11 o'clock. A lot more Chiefs to get into today as well. We will certainly talk about that with a number of things on the docket. Juan Thornhill and his health. And then, of course, we've got a defensive lineman. We'll just say the name. It's Danny Shelton, everybody. It is not Aaron Donald. It's Danny Shelton. What everybody has been wondering, who the Chiefs are going to sign. They have done it.
Former first-round pick Danny Shelton.
They have signed Danny Shelton.
Please use his full name.
Daniel Shelton.
Former first-round pick Daniel Shelton.
Former first-round pick Danny Shelley.
It's actually not Danny. It's actually former first-round pick Danny Salopumoni Shelton.
I believe you. That you.
That's from his Wikipedia, or from his Pro Football Reference page.
There you go. We'll take a timeout. More Zone next.
You're in the Zone.
Perfect Sports Radio right there. That's great. It's awesome. Worst thing ever. Dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
With Jason Anderson.
I kind of agree with both.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we'll talk with Jeff Montgomery coming up at 11 o'clock. The Little League World Series going on with the Midwest region. Missouri is up 3-1 over Iowa. Take that, Iowa.
Eat it, Iowa.
Take it, Iowa.
Beards, what did you find about one of our friends from the Missouri team?
There is a little kid named Brody Jackson.
What a great baseball kid named Brody Jackson.
Dream job on the bottom.
Dream job for Brody Jackson.
Chicken nugget taste tester.
For a 12-year-old, that's a dream job. A lot of kids are like, you know, baseball player or want to be, you know, a chicken nugget taste tester.
I've heard it's a competitive market.
They also have like the kids' favorite athletes and things like that and different nicknames when they come up to the plate. One of the kids from Iowa's favorite athlete is Michael Jordan.
He's 12.
You're 12, dude. That's your dad's favorite athlete. Why don't you have your favorite athlete, guy?
Hey, Beards, what's your dream job?
This. Money.